The latest so-called trial of the century. We'll have to wait.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. What happens in court and out of court to BP and the victims of the company's offshore oil disaster will have to wait at least a week. The big trial was due to start in New Orleans today, but now a delay. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London. Stephen, hi.
Hello, David.
So how important is this trial to BP?
Very important. It's a huge case, a civil case involving the federal government, the governments of the various states affected by the spill, and 116,000 individual claimants. These include fishermen and hoteliers who say their business was damaged by the spill. Chris Grabowski of Peak Oil Consulting says these are claimants who have not already benefited from BP's $20 billion compensation fund.
It's basically all these people who either refused to take compensation or weren't offered compensation, getting together with their lawyers to see what they can get out of it.
What are they trying to get out of it, Stephen? How much money is at stake?
Well, the sky's the limit. I mean, the critical question for the trial will be, was BP grossly negligent in the way it allowed the rig to be operated? If gross negligence is established, the penalties paid to the federal government alone could multiply by a factor of 6 or 7, and there could be exemplary damages awarded to the plaintiffs. This could cost BP tens of billions of extra dollars, which is why the company's been scrambling to settle out of court. We may find out how successful they've been if or when the trial begins next Monday.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard. When Warren Buffett talks, people listen, but the 81-year-old billionaire isn't really talking about who will eventually replace him at the top of Berkshire Hathaway, his financial services conglomerate. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer now on a strange non-announcement.
You may be wondering why Buffett doesn't just say who'll replace him eventually. Well, analysts say that would cause uncertainty at Berkshire Hathaway. Big companies like to have a couple of people in the running. Len Blum is managing partner at the New York investment bank Westwood Capital. He says there are a few other reasons to leave the successor anonymous.
He's going to increase the public scrutiny on that successor if the successor leaves or makes a mistake.
Blum says Berkshire Hathaway shouldn't make a big deal of the succession issue and should even try to ignore it. Buffett couldn't ignore it this morning. He was on CNBC and, of course, was asked why he wouldn't say who'll replace him. He would only say the company knows exactly what it'll do when he can no longer run it.
It could be tonight. It could be 5 years from now. The board of directors knows exactly who the person is the next morning.
And Buffett pointed out that big companies like Coke and Amazon haven't announced who their next CEO is. But the thing about Berkshire Hathaway is Warren Buffett embodies the company, and he's headed it for almost 50 years. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Group of 20 finance ministers are pushing back a decision on boosting the fund used to fight the Eurozone financial crisis. In European trading now, the FTSE 100 index in London is down 0.9%, the German DAX index down 1.2%, and the Nikkei in Japan closed down 0.1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Innocentive, helping organizations generate creative ideas and solve key problems through open innovation and crowdsourcing solutions. Innovation consultants available at 855-PROUD-NOW. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Today, Marketplace is launching a brand new beat.
The American dream is shaking right now.
Top 1%.
I think we're very blessed to have what we have.
The 99%.
I've never been one to look for a handout.
The Wealth and Poverty Desk will explore the growing concentration of wealth in the United States, its causes and consequences. Quite a mouthful there, so we're taking it a bite at a time. In the first of our stories about the fundamentals of wealth and poverty, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman says wealth is about more than just the dollars in your paycheck.
Nicole Lewis is 24. She lives in a spacious one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn on her modest salary at a New York nonprofit. She doesn't have a trust fund, but wealth is all around her, always has been.
My great-grandmother was the first black woman to graduate from University of Pennsylvania Law School, the first to be appointed to the Pennsylvania Bar.
The family made money in law and business. Now they're in the top 1%. Lewis has gone to the best schools.
And I'm excited to break into the food world in New York City, which is a really tough place to break into. It's all about who you know.
So she picks up the phone, calls her aunt.
She goes, great, we have a mutual friend. I'll reach out. I'll put you in touch.
With celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson of Red Rooster Restaurant, Harlem. Now, Lewis has an internship at the top of the food chain.
And that ties into the way that I think about wealth and what it's meant. It's been more about entrance or acceptance into a specific social network.
Right place, right time, right people. Wealth lubricates the path to career and financial success for the rich. For the middle class, wealth is most important for the material boost that it can provide to the younger generation.
By giving financial assistance, for example, when they buy their first home.
That's Thomas Shapiro of the Institute on Assets and Social Policy at Brandeis. He says the biggest asset most families have isn't a stock portfolio or a business, but a house. Over time, the equity can be used for college, retirement, surviving job loss, or a bad accident.
Wealth is surplus security.
Meaning?
Think about everything that has value that you could possibly sell minus everything that you owe.
If that calculation puts you in the red, you don't have any surplus security at all. Turns out 1 in 4 American families have so little net worth they couldn't survive without income for 3 months at the poverty line. They're living with virtually no financial guardrail between themselves and destitution. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, Mitchell at the Wealth and Poverty Desk looks at another fundamental question: what is poverty? And finally, word this morning that Rupert Murdoch's company is paying nearly $1 million to a British singer who said News Corp journalists hacked her cell phone. Charlotte Church gets the equivalent of, in fact, she gets $951,000, about half of it for legal costs. The settlement includes an apology. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
Poverty is an actual number that you can figure out, but what you can't measure are the hopes and the aspirations and the fears.
I'm going to work until the day I die.
Yeah, I have to work very hard for what I want.
I don't need for a lot. I don't have a lot.
I'm not where I want to be.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. Wealth and Poverty, the Causes and the Consequences. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.